physical needs, yet without preaching the gospel. So here, be fed, be clothed, and go to hell. That's what, if you're on a mission and you're not preaching the gospel, you're saying, here, let's make you nice and cozy, now you can go to hell. That's what I believe probably most of what's called missions today. If you add all the inner cities and all the foreign missions, they are here. Be well fed and clothed and go to hell. That's what they ought to call their ministry. Another unknown source, but it's making the world a better place to go to hell in. You could preach the gospel and feed and clothe. That's great. That's what Christianity should be. So be filled with God and the things of God, leaving no room for the devil. That's the idea. And listen, kids, they have a free will. They can still reject the gospel. You can raise a kid as best you know how, and they can still reject the Lord. But the point is, what part did you play? And right now our public schools are playing the part of corrupting our children. Right now our entertainment and the whole mostly religious system is corrupting children, teaching them things that are unbiblical. Imagine though, like I said, you're always going to have, there was always a Cain with an Abel, you know. But imagine the world if our schools still had those McGuffey readers.
Amen.
That were full of... See, originally your public schools were basically to teach young people to read so that they could read the Bible.
Amen.
That's your history that you've been robbed of, but that's the truth.
Yep.
Now look at what they've done. That's why liberals are nothing but Satanists. I know that's going to, some people are going to say, oh, that's terrible. No, it's not. It's the truth. And I don't care what you think. It's the truth. Satanism is under many different labels. But Satanism is simply this. They don't even have to believe in Satan as a person. Satanism is the principle of rejecting God and making yourself God. Do what thou wilt is Satanism. And that's exactly what our public school system is right now. Do what thou wilt. Hath God said, do what thou wilt. And that's what all these systems that we have in this country right now are Satanism. Liberalism, Satanism. Progressivism, Satanism. And it's all bent on pushing God out of everything. And they're parasites. They don't form or found and build things. What a liberal does... And I think John mentioned this in the Sunday school. What happens, you have a real good church built on the Word of God, preaching the King James Bible, preaching the gospel, and in will come some people, and they're not really King James Bible believers, and they're not really Bible believers in any sense of the, but they like whatever's going on, and they come around everything. And then you have this, especially the churches that are built on a formal system where you have all the voting going on and everything. I was told about somebody here locally, I'll try not to be too specific, started a church just like we did. And within 10 years, more than half of that church voted him out. But why? Because they didn't like the fact that he was giving these current events updates just like you heard this morning. They didn't want to hear that stuff. And they wanted to grow. They didn't mean spiritually. They meant they wanted to have more people. They wanted to, you know, have more excitement. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. So the liberals, that's what a liberal is. They don't believe in absolute truth. They don't believe in absolute morality. And they come into churches. They come into our public school system. They come into our government and they destroy it. And that's what's going on right now in the public school system, originally established to teach people to read so you could read the Bible. And they would fill those kids with the Word of God so that even the ones that weren't Christian knew more Bible than most Christians do today. So Scripture with Scripture. Be filled with the fullness of God. Don't just clean up. Get saved. Get born again. The Spirit of God comes into you. And then it's about you surrendering and allowing God to fill you. Be filled with the fullness of God. Look over at Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 14 through 19. Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So right there's the attitude of not self. You are bowing before God. You are humbling yourself and making God the authority. Right there. Verse 14. Now read verse 15. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Stop right there. You see that? There's an exchange going on. You bow before God and submit to him, and then he turns around and strengthens you with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now you're being filled with God. You're not just empty and cleaned up, but filled with God. That, look, now when the Spirit comes in, what's the result technically? Verse 17, read that. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Amen. Meditate on that until you get it clear that what you're doing is submitting to God and you're allowing him to fill you. And as his Spirit comes in and fills you, it is Christ, the Spirit of Christ. Some people don't understand what we mean when we say, "I believe I have Jesus in my heart." No, we didn't swallow a tab of Jesus and he gives in our heart. It's not something physical like that. You have Jesus in you because you're saved, and now you are submitting to him, and by his word, as you take in his word, submitting to his word, you are now filled with Christ, and he will dwell in your hearts. And that's how you know God's will for your life. That's how you know what is right and what is wrong. That's how you have discernment and you can see what's going on in the world and not be fooled by it. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Look a page over Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 17 through 21. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now read 18. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And now he's going to say, this is what it looks like when you're filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." In other words, you're going to get under some people's skin. You're going to be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs instead of the crap on the top 40 and the crap on the secular entertainment and music and everything that is also filthy and nasty. And I'm sorry to even say I have to know what some of these people, who they are and what they're doing. But, I try to keep up with what's going on just so, if someone asks me a question, I can answer it. But I can't keep up with all of it. There's just so much garbage. And to know Christians fill themselves with that garbage. And we have access to so much, including Bible, anytime we want it. And this local church twice a week, but you can access it 7 days a week on the internet. And you have Christian friends you can call and talk to. You can spend time in the Word by yourself. Spend time praying. You can spend time out trying to talk to people about the Lord. And if you can't get people to talk to you because they're scared to death, you're going to breathe on them. Then you get the tracks and put a rubber band and go around, put them on doors. You can do all kinds of things. Filling your heart, your mind, filling your life with the things of God. Verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be a thankful person. You'll be grateful. You won't be one of these people always thinking, oh, you know, I just deserve so much more. I deserve so much better. That's not going to be your attitude if you're filled with the Spirit. You're going to realize you ought to be in hell right now.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wow, Lord, you're so good to me. I have so much. Everything you have can fill in a blank there. I have so much I don't deserve. What? Everything you have.
Amen.
And in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Amen.
And we're not going to get into the wife submitting because then we'd be here all day. So we're going to stop there. But it says, be filled with the knowledge of His will. Knowledge. I've grown up seeing the posters. Knowledge is power. Not if it's not true knowledge. It can be your downfall.
Yep.
Knowledge, when it's true, is power. And how do we know the knowledge of His will? Look over Colossians now. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9 through 14. Verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, let's just read through these verses. Verse 10, read it with me. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good and increasing in the knowledge of God. So if you're going to be filled with the knowledge of God, then you're going to walk worthy, you're going to be fruitful, and you're going to increase in the knowledge of God. That means you're going to be in His Word, you're going to be studying, you're going to be in church to listen to the teaching, you're going to do what you can to grow in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, read that. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, read 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And see, what we're realizing is it's really us just submitting ourselves to what He has for us. He's doing all the work.
Amen.
He gave you the book. All you're doing is receiving it. You're taking it in, but He did all the work.
Amen.
He's given you His Spirit. He's doing all the work. And that's why it says in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Who did all the work? He did.
Amen.
He's done all the work. In whom we have redemption, but who did the work? Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You have forgiveness, but you didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. So by His blood, who? Verse 15, Jesus is who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And I got to stop there. So it's just, and that's God's word, man. You can just, it's just, you don't want to stop. And it just doesn't stop. You can just keep going and feeling yourself. And it may seem basic to some, but here's a little reality check. If this is so basic, why are so few doing this?
Yeah.
If this is so basic, why do so few people do this? And I'm not going to point fingers and name names, but that's for you to decide which side of that question you're on. That's for you to decide.
Yep.
What are you filled with? Only you can answer that. Go back to verse 26 in Luke 11. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. That should make you very, very concerned not to be that person. Not to have your place just cleaned up. You want to have Jesus inside.
Amen.
If not, it says, look how verse 26 ends, those words, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. If you refuse to be filled by God, your end will be worse than the trouble that you have at first.
Yeah.
In other words, that person who's trying to get off drugs or trying to get off of booze or whatever, if he doesn't fill his life with Christ, even if he cleans up for a few years, the rest of his life doesn't get back on that, he ends up in hell. If he doesn't fill him, allow God to fill him with His Spirit. And a Christian, yeah, you're saved, but your end in this life can be worse than it was at the point you were saved even.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen. Then the rest of us are left to question whether or not that's the case, or maybe you were never saved in the first place. And we'll find out when we get to heaven. What a terrible way to end.
Yeah.
And why? Let's just allow God's word to summarize it for us. In John 3:3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. If you will not be born again, and all you're doing is cleaning up your act, you're empty and just waiting to be filled with the devil, and in the end, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will see a place called hell. John 3:16 is a well-known verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What happens if you will not? You'll perish. Yep. Your end will be worse than the first.
Amen.
A couple of verses over, we don't hear as often. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Why is his ending worse than the first? Because you end condemned without Christ. And what is worse than the first? Jesus said in Matthew 13:41, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." The next verse says, "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth."
Yep.
American Christianity and Americans in general have not only made up a God in their own image, but they've decided that they'll believe in heaven, but not in hell. The Bible talks about both places as in the same terms. They're real places. But Americans are so smart. Western Christianity now has become so smart, more and more now saying they don't believe in this place called hell, even though Jesus talked about it more than anyone else.
Amen.
And God keeps the books.
Yep.
In Revelation 20:15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You'll go to hell until judgment day. You'll be brought up in front of the judgment. Hell itself is cast in the lake of fire. And all whose names were not found written in the book of life are then cast into the lake of fire. But it doesn't have to end that way. It doesn't have to be that way.
Amen.
And that's where we're going to pick up next time in our study. And today, you make the decision, if you haven't already. Will you be born again and receive the Spirit of God? Or will it end that way for you, where you're just doomed? Because you've chosen to be doomed. God's put it in your lap, so to speak. The choice is on you. If you are saved, and you are filled with the Spirit of God, you are filled with God and the things of the Spirit, then I want you to join us in singing page 483. Because that's the result of being filled with God, is that you love Him so much. You love Him so much. He first loved us. And now, because of what He's done for us, we love Him so much. We should just think about sometimes what He's done for us. Saving us from that lake of fire. Saving us from the self-destruction in this life. And none of it deserved. None of it earned. Every bit of it undeserved, and a free gift received by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection. So you would stand.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word.
hope and pray everyone here is saved. I believe every one of you have given that testimony. How many times have you just stopped whatever you're doing and thanked Him for saving you? Thanked Him for what He's done. I just want to give you a moment. Maybe it's because life gets busy or whatever. You don't hear. Now, let's take a minute. Just between you and the Lord, in your heart, speak to Him in your heart and thank Him if you're thankful. If you're saved and thankful, thank Him for saving you. Just take a minute. Let's do that. I want to tell you, when I pray, a lot of times what I tell them, I don't deserve it. And there are times where I don't even feel saved. I'm thankful I don't have to base it on my feelings. I base it on the fact of His accomplished work on the cross, death, burial, and resurrection. He shed His blood. And the fact, the Bible says I'm saved. And my feelings don't matter. Doesn't matter how you feel. Are you saved? Have you repented toward God and believed that death, burial, and resurrection as payment and victory on your behalf over sin, death, and hell? If so, you're saved. Doesn't matter how you feel. But then if we will fill ourselves with God and His Word and His Spirit and the things of God, we'll sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, will preach the gospel, and we can then have those feelings, because they're nice, ain't they? Amen? So let's go ahead and sing now what it says in verse 3, that it tells me what my Father hath in store for me every day. Let's sing that.
It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. Eternal life, the soul shall